I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Delicately, like two little butterflies, Barbara and Declan have floated into the studios. Well done.
And they managed not to fall over each other like a little the mouse. Desk or anything. Yeah.
Quiet. I should explain that because they're doing, well, as probably every presenter on the station has complained, they are doing work in here and the studio is like a cauldron while they're doing the construction work. But they were working on the new studio today, so it was very warm and toasty. Everyone was kind of, has been creeping in and out. I know, yeah.
Tis warm, all right.
Tis warm, all right, yeah.
I'm never sure if it's me or if it's the studio, but I think it's the studio.
I noticed actually that like my wedding ring has fallen off me a couple of times, which is a sign they've lost weight. It's not like I have a lot to lose, you know. So I think somebody mistake me for a broom in the not too distant future. Anyway, here is your first question. In the last 6 months, I've really gotten into the gym. And I have a great routine of weights before work and training in the evenings. I had a bit of weight to lose and I'm delighted with my progress. You should just sit in this studio for an hour.
Yeah.
I go to a gym nearby and you can often see the same people would have had an odd chat with them. There's an older man who keeps approaching me and he's made a few passes at me. He would be in his late 40s, even 50s. I'm in my 20s. I have mentioned my boyfriend a few times, but he's not getting the hint. He has asked me out for coffee and I said no. Now he keeps popping up when I'm doing my workouts and trying to chat to me. And it is lovely to be complimented, but it is beginning to make me feel so uncomfortable. I feel like I may need to get the gym staff involved because now he never seems to leave me alone and I've had to start adjusting my gym schedule to avoid him. How do I handle this?
Do you know what? How many times do we get problems on here that when I read them and I think, I really don't understand why you can't just tell it like it is to the person.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know if young people lost the ability to actually be very direct in their communication with other people, especially if it's going to be a little bit
especially if it's an old person.
Blunt.
I thought you were going to say. Especially with an old person.
How do I handle this? Like, I mean, you know.
Maybe they're conflict averse. Maybe there's more of that.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, it just seems to be something like it's a common theme here. The amount of times I'm going, just tell them, for God's sake. I mean, with this guy, you're in a gym, you're there for a reason, you're doing your workout, you're concentrating, you know, you're doing whatever it is. Tell him very firmly, I'm not interested in chatting at the moment now, Fred, because I want to get this done. Thanks very much. And then you break eye contact and you keep doing what you're doing and you ignore him. And I mean, you know, I don't understand why that's a problem. The thing in this letter that kind of set off a slight alarm bell was where she said, it's lovely to be complimented. That's not a compliment, this old guy following you around, asking you out for coffee and all that kind of stuff. So I have a feeling that this woman is being too polite and she doesn't need to be when this guy is clearly being a nuisance. So she needs to be very direct with him and just say, no, I am not up for chat now at the minute. And push him back. And hopefully he'll get the message. And if he doesn't, the next stage on that is, look, I've told you the other day, I really want to do my workout. I'm not into having a chat. And you're starting to make me feel uncomfortable. And that should set alarm bells off with him that he's, you know, he's crossing a line into where he shouldn't be going.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, you know, I mean, the last thing is get the staff involved. But you should be able to handle this by being very direct. No smiling, no being, you know, being very definite and definitive in your, I'm here to work out. I don't want to chat. I don't want to go for coffee. I'm sure you're a lovely man, but really leave me alone.
Yeah. I wonder is part of it that maybe he complimented her at first and she did say, oh, thank you, when she was very chatty to him, and now he's coming back for more.
So now she's being punished.
She feels she's encouraged him. She's making it feel it's her fault, but obviously it's not.
Yeah, no, but I mean, even if she was polite if he flattered her in some way, that doesn't matter. It's moved beyond that now. And she's perfectly entitled to be very direct and very, not cutting and not rude, but just very definite in saying, I'm here to work out. I'm not up for the chat. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think often when we're, you know, dealing with people in the world, you know, our first instinct is to approach it, you know, being a nice person and, you know, engaging with people. Hi, how are you? You know, because that, you know, that's nice. And then sometimes, as has often come up in problems that we've had to deal with, it's that when suddenly the world that you've created isn't the world that you want to be in anymore. And then people don't seem to have the tools to be able to go from, you know, friendly, smiling face to, I want to speak to the manager. That seems to be the binary of options that she has true. There is like, is that like, oh no, I don't like this anymore. And it's all internal, you know, her struggle's all happening in her head.
Yeah.
And then the only get out clause you can think of is, I'm going to get the manager involved.
You're absolutely right.
Which is really extreme. And that's, and so that's the only bit that I would suggest is, I think that she needs to recognize that she's completely okay to feel like she doesn't want to have a conversation with somebody. That's totally fine. But the way in which she handles that, that is her work. That's her bit to do. Because the reality of it is, it all seems to boil down to her not wanting, as Sean said, to deal with conflict in a way that feels uncomfortable for her.
I'm kind of wondering here though as well, is this something in particular that women are worse at than men? Do you know what I mean? Because I think girls are brought up always to be nice and to be accommodating and not to be rude and not to be anything else like that. And I think, and in some ways it's almost a safety thing, especially if you're like, I'm 6 foot tall, so there's very few men that talk to me that are bigger, like taller than me. And that makes it easier to be assertive when you need to be. But I'm always conscious, you know, if you're a smaller woman who's, you know, quiet by nature, that's harder to do, especially with somebody who's older and seemingly more powerful.
Because in every interaction where you try to set something out, you know, in the way that you want it to be, you have to be able to deal with the consequences. Mm. It's like geopolitics. It's like the difference that Ireland would make on the global stage versus Russia or the USA, because they have all the big weapons and they're the big boys, where the little Ireland has to be a little bit more diplomatic, shall we say, in
we
the way
we heard all about our soft power this week.
Yeah, but it soft is about power. Soft power. But it is, because the soft power that she has is that your man fancies her. And I mean, you know, and also it's, you don't need to go nuclear, you know, to deal with the situation. There are loads of ways. I do think there is also, perhaps, in the way that you describe it, it did click with me that the way in which, you know, men and women deal with each other, that the guy isn't taking no for an answer, not only because he's not picking up on the cues or whatever, but also because
he thinks she's just being coy.
It's just that that's not how, that's not working. You know, the way in which he's being rejected isn't rejecting him in a way that he needs to you know, whatever.
Yeah.
My view is that she just needs to have a process that, you know, she's going in her head going, this is going to be escalation towards the nuclear option. She, you know, when she gets to DEFCON 1 going, I'm going to speak to the manager or I'm going to scream and go, this man won't leave me alone, whatever it is. That's very dramatic. There has to be kind of like bits in between.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. You know, if she says to him very definitively, I'm not up for talking, I really want to concentrate on this.
But a lot of people don't think about those things. A lot of people can't visualise in their head what would happen if they do that, because they think that that's going to create that it doesn't matter what you say, any form of rejection is going to create the big explosive reaction, when in fact most of the time it doesn't. That, you know, people do normally respond well to people being clear and assertive, but not aggressive and not mean.
But I think, like what you said, that's the first step. And if he doesn't take the hint from that, then using a word like, you're making me uncomfortable, should set off an alarm bell in his head that, oh, you know, maybe I have stepped over the mark a little bit here, you know?
Yeah, I wonder.
Really? I know, because I think there's a distinct possibility this guy's a creep. And that he has targeted her specifically, and maybe she's not the only one, because she's new to the gym. She maybe doesn't look that comfortable in the gym, even though she says she's enjoying it. She had a bit of weight to lose, so we went, oh, I'll go over and flatter her a bit.
Dark.
It is very dark, but it does happen in women.
Are, you know.
And I think whatever about women being nervous about conflict, they do tend to feel a bit more vulnerable in the gym.
No, that's true.
You're surrounded with the smell of sweat and testosterone and fellas screaming and all that stuff, you know. There's every chance.
You know, let me help you,
a lot of people are texting in to say, she already said no to the coffee, so isn't it up to the gym now to do something?
I don't
about
think
this.
It is. I think she has to be. I think if she was very politely of, oh, you know, no, thank you for asking me, no, I think she has the next stage before she brings in the staff involved is to very clearly look him straight in the eye and said, I'm not interested in talking. I'm here to work out. Yeah. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, because that's really first good. Because I'm not interested is the first part of that sentence. Mm. And then in talking mm. because I'm here to do something else.
Yeah.
That gives everybody a way to kind of save face.
Yeah.
And if the guy doesn't respond to that, then there's definitely either high level of stupidity
yeah.
or there's deliberate, willful creeping going on there. And then, you know, that may be. And I don't even think, though, it should be a scenario where, you know, getting the people that work there involved, because I mean,
that is to me.
It's not even that that's the wrong thing to do. It's just that that doesn't necessarily get the response that she wants, because what ends up happening is that she won't be. She has to do. She has to protect being comfortable in the gym as well.
Yes, I
and
agree.
That's for her.
Yes.
And so therefore, you know, is there anybody else
making
that's training
a big
at
yoga
the same time?
But publicly, it's not. I would reserve
whereas,
that.
Whereas having other people in the gym that are kind of looking out for her is a better.
Someone says, I think you're being very tough on the girl. She has tried telling him she's not interested to no avail. He's not hearing it. She's in her 20s, making him a creepy old fella.
No, but he's not that old. But then he's in his 40s.
That's all relative. That's somebody in their 20s.
Yeah. But, you know, he is a creepy old fella going up to somebody in a gym. Like in the gym, most people who are going to the gym for gym purposes are, you know, occupied in their own, you know, agenda.
Yeah.
But using it as a place to crack onto people is creepy in my
opinion. He should be doing his own exercise. Maybe he's not well painting himself. I've been married a long time and our sex life is nothing like it should be. Okay. That's a problem.
Wow.
Welcome to the real world. Anyway, I still have sexual desires and miss sex. So after chatting with some of my close girlfriends, they suggested a vibrator. I bought it online, have been very satisfied with it. I've been using it when my husband is out with the lads, or even sometimes sneakily using it when I'm on a work home from on a home day. It has reinvigorated me, and honestly, I can't remember the last time I had an orgasm before it. The issue is that the other day he was rummaging and came across it. He didn't confront me, but just left it on our bed for me to find. I tried to bring it up, and he said he knew where he stood in our marriage, and I betrayed him. He's been sulking since. I don't really see what the big deal is here.
And he goes to the gym where he's trying to chat up some young one.
Well, like, it's funny you say that, because this did strike me as a kind of an inverse in some ways of the last problem. The one thing I noticed is even the way that this is written, that each sentence is so direct and kind of, you know, and short and factual. You know, I've been married for a short time and sex is
nothing
like
it should
be.
Long time.
Yeah.
I still have sexual desires. I miss sex. I know everything is just kind of, you know, that. So this woman clearly knows who she is, what she wants, and isn't afraid to kind of say that's one thing. So it's almost like the husband is in the opposite scenario, where there's a kind of a feeling, an emotional thing that's going on for him about whatever she is doing, with totally within her rights and blah, blah, blah. But he's feeling something and she's living in the kind of rational world of, like, you know, I haven't done anything wrong. Whereas he's feeling a bit kind of emasculated by her switch to AI or whatever it is. I don't think that she's in the wrong in any way, but I do think that...
Well, she's using it when she's supposed to be working from home.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how her Zoom calls. What's that buzzing sound?
Yeah. Maybe she has an OnlyFans. Maybe that is her job. I don't know. You know, no judgment here. But yeah, okay, fair enough. I'm just putting you through. yes, okay. Look, the bottom line, though, is that there's a kind of a... There's a compartmentalization in her head where this, you know, her kind of conjugal duties and her relationship with her husband, and then whatever she's doing, whatever she needs to do to get herself through the day. And those two things, you know, even though she's married, those two things, in my view, are kind of separate. You know, it's kind of like, it reminds me of in that scene when Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey are dancing in Dirty Dancing, when he's trying to explain to her that even though we're connected, that's your space and this is my space and we're still dancing together. Mm-hmm. You have to stay in your space. Don't get too close to me because, you know, you'll ruin the dance.
Right.
And I think in that, metaphorically speaking, he's kind of implying that her sexual desires are now owned by him because they're in a relationship together. And I don't think that that's always the healthiest way to see things.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I agree with most of what you said.
Even with the Dirty Dancing thing?
No, I didn't follow that because I hate that film. But yeah, I mean, the bottom line is you cannot, like, he's wrong. The husband is wrong. You can't cheat with a vibrator. Do you know what I mean? He's not being, whatever he said, you know, betrayed, I think was the word he used. Yeah, you can't, he hasn't been betrayed. You can't cheat, you know, with a vibrator. So, you know, she's fully entitled to get herself.
And he's been a hypocrite as well. You know he's been a hypocrite in some way, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So she's she shouldn't feel at all guilty about that. As I say, I do query the working from home thing. But like, you know,
that's a minor thing.
Yeah,
really.
It's a minor
thing.
That's
a matter for HR.
I'm sure other people put on the washing machine and stuff like that when they're working from home. But anyway, however, having said that, that you are perfectly entitled, lady, to, you know, to do to amuse yourself and to get satisfaction with your vibrator. However, I think it might be a good idea to have a chat with your husband about your clearly unsatisfactory sex life together with him. And again, because she says she's been married for a long time, like, and again, talking about older people, you know, people in their 50s and 60s grew up in an age where nobody talked about sex in Ireland.
No.
You know, and you've got no sex education. So there are a lot of people of my age and a bit younger and a bit older who are really awkward when it comes to talking openly about sex. I'm giving him the free pass here that that might be the issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that he didn't confront her about the vibrator, he just left it on the bed, you know, as a message that, like, I know and I feel betrayed.
Oh, but that's just passive-aggressive stuff. And again, I'm going to call
you
out.
It's not very passive. It was aggressive-aggressive.
But leaving it on the bed rather than actually kind of having conversations.
But I was trying to give him a free pass and saying he mightn't have the vocabulary.
Like, I don't agree that the quality of their personal sex life has anything to do with whether or not she uses the vibration.
What?
That loads of people have really successful, fulfilled sex lives can also be using sex toys as well, on their own, whatever. And that isn't.
But she has implicitly said that the reason she got a vibrator was because she wasn't, she was missing sex with her husband.
And
so that's why I think
the fact that he left it on the bed, it was almost like, there's your dirty little secret. And you should be ashamed of this.
Yeah.
She's not at all ashamed. She's going, what's your problem?
But I do think that they should have, you know, if most of the things in their relationship are okay, I think there needs to be a conversation, an open and honest conversation between the two of them, with her not saying, I'm going to give up the vibrator if you kind of start performing again.
But just having a conversation.
Pressure.
Just having a conversation about, I mean, is there a possibility that he got a I'm being very nice to this guy, but is there a possibility that he got a shock? Because to him, they were married forever and he's quite happy never having sex, and he thought she was as well because they didn't have a conversation about it. And now he's found the vibrator and he suddenly goes, oh, I think it's more likely
that this guy feels in some way emasculated by the presence of the thing and by the size of it and the functionality of it and the fact that, it, you know, she's getting something out of it. Beyond that, though, you know, my only point earlier on was, is that a sex toy doesn't have to be a replacement for somebody's sex life. That's all my point was. And I also think that when it comes down to it, if he is just throwing it on the bed and making a kind of a passive aggressive statement about it being there, that allows him in some way to imply that the dysfunction in their sex life is because she's doing this.
Whereas I'm kind of saying that maybe he just doesn't have the vocabulary or the confidence to actually have an open conversation with his wife about why she is dissatisfied with him as a sex partner. And I think that's where they need to go. They need to have that conversation. And I mean, you know, the fact that he's sulking, oh my God, he's sulking. See, it's very hard to live with somebody who's sulking.
Well,
like,
no,
that's
he's
awful.
Calling it sulking. which may be. I do feel a little bit sorry for him because I think probably you're right. Of course, they should have that conversation. But he's probably never had one.
That's
he doesn't have the words.
Exactly.
Right. He hasn't even thought about whether it's okay or not to use a vibrator.
Exactly. I think she needs to be, because she sounds like, as you described her initially, she sounds like a woman who knows what she wants, knows how to get what she wants, and she seems quite much more confident than he does. But I think therefore she needs to initiate the conversation and help him a bit.
I don't know how they got together in the first place, to be honest.
Sure,
with
opposites attract.
Yeah. I think the husband is just hurt and insulted. To be fair, she probably should have talked to him about their sex life in a positive way. It all feels a bit seedy, the way she's behaving.
Seedy? Oh, stop.
She betrayed him telling her friends. regardless of using the vibrator. Well, it's not clear whether he knows she told the friend or not.
Have you not met women?
Is that a man? Yeah, like that's what, a man, obviously, what, you know, who said that. Yeah, Jesus, yeah. What do you think we talk about when we get together? For God's sakes.
Yes. Yes, lads, you're tiny Mickeys. That's all they talk about. I've been dating a guy for over 3 months. We're both in our early 20s. And these are a gay couple, by the way. So the norms in relationships are very confusing and perhaps moronic to older generations. In the past, people would typically meet, go on a few dates, more or less get hooked up with each other. But now that does not apply. You meet, go through the talking, texting phase, the situationship phase, the exclusive phase, and then the dating phase. Oh, God, I thought it was dating before. Oh, no, never mind. The dating phase followed by making it official. Oh, as exhausting as all of that is, it seems as the norm now and everyone is sort of expected to go along with it. We've been dating for well over 3 months. Went on 10 plus dates, met his friends, co-workers, etc., and spent every waking hour texting each other. I came to him and asked if we could be exclusive to each other, which he agreed. A week on, I found out from a mutual friend that he is also dating him. I was very hurt and regrettably flipped out at the guy I'm seeing. He claimed he had done absolutely nothing wrong. I does not see what he has done as bad, to the point where I now feel guilty for being hurt. Am I in the wrong or is at fault for breaking his agreement despite us not being together, in inverted commas? I'm still confused by that. Jesus wept. Yeah.
My head.
Whatever happened to getting drunk and then getting married 3 months later?
Exactly.
Drunk and then realising you're married when you get
over. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I read this letter twice and I have rarely read a letter that made me so glad I'm the age I am.
Yeah.
And this letter did. I thought, thanks be to God, I could not have dealt with this level of... And I mean, he says older people might think it's moronic. It is moronic.
Yeah.
What are people at? And I presume that this litany of stages that he details here is not just a gay thing. I presume straight couples go through this nonsense as well.
Thing, yeah.
And it's like in the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. That's the list.
Yeah.
Officially.
I mean, like, it is the most ridiculous load of absolute nonsense I've ever heard.
I mean, I've never seen this list before. Like, it's not like it's written on the wall.
But you're old as well.
Yeah, I am old.
Yeah, you're not that young.
But the problem for me is that they don't seem to understand the list themselves.
But also, yeah, I mean, the list is ridiculous and absolutely ridiculous. But the other thing is that the problem here is that The guy who wrote to us said that he did ask if they could be exclusive.
Yeah.
Now, unless I don't understand the meaning of the word exclusive, but to me that means you're faithful to the person you're with. So it was the other guy who said, yeah, we'll be exclusive, and then wasn't.
Yeah, so that's like, cut and dried, the
deal.
I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, they had a deal. They'd come to that place where they were being exclusive, and then he ignored it. So, like, your man is dead right to be annoyed. You're not wrong. The other fella's at fault. He broke the agreement. Sounds to me like the other guy isn't ready to be at that level of all the levels.
Yeah,
he's
what
still
is
at the level below.
Is it like snakes and ladders?
Yeah,
you go back down one and you're now in a situationship or whatever the hell it is.
I run a mile.
But the reality of it is that, you know, whatever about the terminology, and, you know, we have a lot of talk in society about terminology and people get very vexed about it. But the reality is most of the time, terminology is there not to create these obstacle courses for people to get their minds and their bodies through, but it's actually to help people to live functioning lives.
Do you know something? That's nonsense.
No, it doesn't.
When you're coming to relationships, in our day, as you said, you went out, you met somebody, and then you were going out with them. If you saw them twice, you're going out with them, and then you can decide where you're going after that. This is a whole load of nonsense.
Go
on, say it. I can see it coming out of your head in a big thought bubble.
Because it's not a thought bubble, it's actually an accusation.
Here we go.
Duck, Barbara, duck.
In the olden days, women would have been sent off to...
Now, you must remember, Declan, this was outside. There was a lot of rain. We had to act fast.
This is true. Look, the bottom line is that all I meant to say was that certain ways of organising, relationships, whether it was sending women off to different clans and getting a whole bunch of ducks and cows in return, doesn't work anymore.
Sending women off to where?
To different families, and we're getting a dowry back and all that doesn't work.
I'm not that old.
Oh. Sorry, okay. Where do you want me to start?
No one's that old.
Do you want me to start?
Hello? Yeah.
All I'm trying to say is that the language that these kids are trying to develop is ostensibly to help them live lives that work for them. However, as we both agree that sometimes the language starts to get a bit stupid, this kid is believing the language instead of recognizing that the other partner in this scenario is using the language against him. Is actually kind of allowing your man's confusion about what stage, whether they're tier 7 gold label, you know, blah, 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 with XYZ benefits that accrue over a 6-month period. All that stuff is nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. Because the only underlying fact should be in a relationship is that the other person is treating you with respect and dignity. And if you're not getting that back, then it doesn't matter what level, what tier you think you are. It doesn't matter if you're married. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's true.
So therefore, the language and the terminology is meant to help us to understand what kind of relationship we have.
It just overcomplicates. It's like having far too much red tape around something.
You could say that about marriage too.
That's very straightforward.
You could say that about marriage too. That's what I'm saying. All my point is the language.
How could you say it about marriage?
Because if somebody in a marriage doesn't act like they're in a marriage, then they're not in a marriage.
I'm talking about these stages.
Yeah.
These stages are just overcomplicating something that actually isn't that complicated. As you say, it comes down to treating the other person with respect.
Right.
And that's all. So all of these stages are just making this fella's mind blow up and he doesn't know where he's at. He's confused.
On this arbitrary list of things that he thinks are important instead of standing up for him, standing up for himself and actually calling out this other person who's clearly betrayed him and clearly, you know, is not.
So what's your advice?
My advice is
run a mile.
It's about, with all relationships, especially for the young kids, that they have to be very clear as to what they think they're getting involved with. And I know at the beginning stages, it's all a bit, you know, are we going out? Is this a date? All this stuff is, you know, that's not a new phenomenon where people weren't sure what was going on and whether or not somebody fancied
them. And if somebody was going then out with somebody else, while you were going out with them, if they saw that was cheating. And then that was crazy.
Yeah, well, that is, I think, an American import, and that's new. The idea that dating isn't an exclusive thing.
People are all kind of, and that dating can include certain kind of intimate activities, which means that there's a kind of a weird. You know, that's the problem.
For God's sake.
Is that you don't know whether you're actually exclusive with somebody. And I think, you know.
Are you talking about what we used to call heavy petting?
I'm talking about anything, you know, because. Yeah. You know, I think the Americans call that what? Home base.
So you're saying to me, if you're dating nowadays, you don't have to be exclusive. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know, Barbara. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and my understanding, that's what it is at first.
They make their own.
But, you know, you're right.
It's unhygienic besides anything else.
Your man asked, could we be exclusive? He said, yes, he lied.
He lied, yeah.
That's exactly it.
So
it doesn't matter what label he thought was on his scenario. Is that your man, you know, what do you think exclusive means?
Yeah. And,
you know, exclusive, but you're actually kissing other people.
Yeah.
That's not exclusive, kid.
No, it's not. No.
Yeah. Okay. But even I get the sense from this person that their head is a bit melted with all this stuff.
But sure, don't blame them. I mean, my head would be melted if you had to cope with all that nonsense as well. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
You have to retain your energy for the heavy petting.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't
be dealing with all this.
It's like, you know, who gave you the list is what I want to know.
Yeah.
Who gave you the list? Because it's actually not a definitive, actually agreed by the United Nations list. So in future, when you're engaging in relationships, have a conversation that's beyond just the, you know, the label, the word, and maybe delineate what that actual word means to you and see if you get an agreement there. And if you don't, then your man's not interested. And if you do, then you can tell the person that they've reneged on the agreement when they
do. Just feel very sorry
We have to wrap it up there. Barbara and Declan will be back for more Heifer Petting in front of an especially invited audience tomorrow in the Sugar Club.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, no, not literally. Obviously, that was just a bit of a joke.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.